WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Inflation slowed last month, the first time since September. The Consumer Price Index increased 2.8% from February from a year ago, but that's down from 3% the previous month. Following the steel and aluminum tariffs that went into effect at midnight, the European Union announcing a retaliatory trade action with new duties on U.S. farm and other products. The Education Department, the latest to announce widespread layoffs. The administration says it's an attempt to streamline the agency, but National Education Association President Becky Pringle says,
you cannot fire half of your staff and think you are going to meet the needs of all of the students in every school district across this nation. That's not possible. No one believes that.
Longtime Democratic Senator Jean Shaheen from New Hampshire has announced she will not be seeking re-election. She is the third Democratic senator to recently announce retirement, making a Democratic comeback in the Senate less likely. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The River Valley School District will be asking voters for tax funding to maintain its current educational programs, class sizes, services, and co-curricular activities on the April 1st ballot. Voters will be asked if the River Valley School District should be authorized to exceed the revenue limit by $4,150,000 for the 2025-26 school year, by $4,750,000 for the 2026-27 school year, and by $5.2 million for the 2027-28 school year for non-recurring purposes consisting of paying the cost of maintaining educational programs and maintenance of the district. The district does not plan to add new positions or programs, new buildings or facilities. Lauren Glassbrenner serves as the River Valley District Administrator.
This is not about a capital referendum where it's dealing with buildings or renovations or any of that. That's in our past. That's gone. This is about the programming that we offer to retain the great courses and classes and class sizes that we have currently. So this is about us just keeping going and want to make sure that people are really clear about the difference between operational, which is coming up, and what we had in the past, which is capital. The whole referendum and the operational referendum stuff that we're talking about throughout the state of Wisconsin is not necessarily about expenses and people using the money poorly. It's about revenues, about what we can pull in as a public school system and how we can use it. So it's not about expenses, it's about revenues.
Community referendum information sessions will be held to allow voters to get information firsthand and ask questions. An informational session will be held Tuesday, March 18th at 5:30 at the Middle School Library. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks lose at the buzzer. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had the lead, but Oshkosh native Tyrese Haliburton with a spectacular three-point shot, then draws a foul, gave the Pacers a 115-114 win over Milwaukee. Doc Rivers.
That's on us and told our staff, you know, we got to have our guys prepared better for that. You can see screaming before the play. We're already off the bodies, so we're in trouble before the play started.
The Bucks have now lost three in a row. College hoops, for the second year in a row, the UW Green Bay women's team winning the Horizon League tournament. They beat Purdue Fort Wayne 77-63. The Phoenix now headed to the NCAA tournament. The Badgers men play tomorrow in the second round of the Big Ten tournament. Greg Gard says his team has put that loss at home to Penn State behind them.
So one nice thing about younger adults, they move on faster than a 50-some-year-old head coach does.
NFL cornerback Eric Stokes leaving the Packers, signing a one-year deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The sun won't stop. We have plenty of it today with highs reaching 60 degrees and more of it tomorrow with highs climbing to the upper 60s. For Friday, clouds roll in, we become breezy and muggy, and we warm up to the mid-70s. Then at night, strong to severe thunderstorms roll through. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 38.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It is the same number for both, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just quickly, coming up later on this hour, after the 11:30 news, we will lighten things up as we always do with what we like to call a little audio sorbet. Just kind of a cleansing segment to take a breath and have some laughs and try and distract ourselves for a brief period of time. So after the 11:30 news, we're going to talk about what old TV show do you wish was back? What old TV show do you miss? We'll kick that around after the 11:30 news. We will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the It Floats, Trust Me edition. It's a good one. We have an audio element, too, so stick around for that. Right now, though, she is joining us from an undisclosed location somewhere in Wisconsin, I assume. Civic Media's Chief Morale Officer, Dr. Kristen Lierley, is here. Good morning, Dr. Lierley. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. I think that this episode also should be This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Yes, This Should Not Be a Thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about measles and the resurgence of measles in this country, which had essentially been eradicated, and now it's back. From CNN this morning, the measles outbreak in West Texas is now linked with cases in New Mexico and new cases in Oklahoma. This brings the total number of almost 300 cases of measles across the three states. In Texas alone, over 200 measles cases reported, and there have been two deaths. This shouldn't be happening, Dr. Lierley.
Measles was eradicated in 2000. I have never seen a measles case. I started medical school in 2003. I've never, ever seen a case of measles. I have learned about it, and I'm learning about it again because it is a thing. And it is a thing because of misinformation and fear, and it all goes back to the MMR vaccine and all of that crazy misinformation that spread about autism, which has been debunked over and over and over again.
Now, there was a study at one time, from what I understand, that purported this link between autism and vaccines. That Yes. study was rescinded. That study was pulled.
That was a small study of less than 30 people done by a gastroenterologist in England who was paid to do a study. The whole thing was crooked, and the guy has lost his license. I mean, it just got completely blown out of proportion, and here we are now. Children are dying, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, Jane. Measles is probably the most infectious disease out there.
Yep.
And knowing that these little things are popping up all over the place, we're traveling all over the place. People are moving around, not realizing that they're exposed to measles. If you have been exposed to measles, odds are you're going to get at least a mild version of it and you're going to pass it on to somebody else. So if you have not been vaccinated, you are at risk.
It is highly contagious. One of the most highly contagious diseases, measles. And as we're learning, tragically, it can be fatal. This can
especially
kill you.
For small children, especially. And if it doesn't kill you, it can impair you for the rest of your life. It can cause brain inflammation, encephalitis, that can cause numerous other problems. And if you get encephalitis when you're 5, you're going to be affected for the rest of your life.
I heard someone refer to COVID as this too, like it's a paralyzing event. That is that another way of putting it? Is like measles can, like, you might get, like you said, a mild case, but it can affect you for the rest of your life in ways you're not even sure that could come up later on and really make it hard to exist. But actually, the reason why I wanted to ask you gave all those criteria about the, you know, less than 30 people studied. It was over in England, paid to do it. Why did it? I mean, I don't want to point my finger at Jenny McCarthy, but it still has legs. People still refer to it. And when you say, well, sorry, my friend who is a doctor has said less than 30 people, paid to do it, rescinded, lost license. Why do people still say, well, you don't know. You don't know. You're not a doctor.
I've done my own research.
Yeah, I get it. Jenny McCarthy has a son with autism. And we're all looking for answers. Autism is multifactorial and it's complicated and it's devastating. And we want answers. We don't want this to happen to other people. So I appreciate that activism streak, but it's misplaced. And what we're seeing in the United States, when people can't get access to real healthcare, to real information, we're seeking out natural solutions. So we've been hearing a lot about vitamin A as a potential solution. Vitamin A does not prevent you from contracting measles. I want to be really, really clear about this. Vitamin A is not the solution. It might be in Africa where people have vitamin A deficiencies. There we have studies that show that for people who are sick with measles, it does make a difference. And we do use it in the United States for people who are, you know, like kids who are hospitalized with measles. We do give them vitamin A because there is some evidence that it can make a difference, but it also can cause problems. It can cause liver problems, and it can give you that false sense of reassurance that you are protected from measles, when in reality, it does not at all protect you from measles. The only thing that protects you is the vaccines.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Kristen Lierley is here, and we are talking about the resurgence of measles in this country, which was eradicated in 2000, you said, Dr. Lierley, right? And now it's back. And now our head of the Department of Health and Human Services, Robert Kennedy Jr., says it would just be better if everybody got measles. Marjorie Taylor Greene has suggested we have measles parties.
She should have a measles party, but all the rest of us shouldn't. We should all just get vaccinated if we are not vaccinated. And if you have been vaccinated, if you've received both of those doses, the risk that your vaccine has waned or that immunity has worn off is very low, less than 1%. So you are probably covered. But if you're concerned, you can get a simple blood test called a titer that will tell you whether you have that immunity or not. So it's easy. So that's one option. Or you can just get another vaccine. As long as you can safely get a live vaccine and you tolerate that well, then that is another option for you. So to be clear, if you are concerned about measles and you want to make sure that you're protected, you can either get a blood test or you can just get another dose of the vaccine and you should be good.
And if I get another dose of the vaccine, I'm 65, and I had measles when I was a sophomore in high school. Now, does that mean I am protected forever, or is it, because I'm going to Texas next week to see a friend of mine, and she's outside of Austin, which is relatively close to where this outbreak is in Texas. Should I be getting another booster, or because I had measles when I was in high school, am I protected now forever?
Jane, you are golden. all of the data that we have.
The only area of my life, Kristen, where I am golden, I'm not getting measles. Yay.
Why, thank you.
You are golden. Because you have had measles. And, you know, this is what happens with misinformation. They take something that has some truth to it and they blow it completely out of proportion. They cherry pick the data and they use it in a way to persuade, to trick people.
Yes,
into
trick.
Doing things.
Yes, trick. Trick.
So for you, because you've had measles, you are likely to be better covered than somebody who has actually had the vaccine. Now, getting the illness puts you at a much greater risk of the complications of the illness. So the vaccine is safer, which is why we recommend the vaccine. But for you at this point in your life, you should be totally fine. If you want the reassurance that you're covered, getting a titer, just looking at that number might make you feel better.
Sure.
But you should be golden.
And what I remember from about this, and if anyone is of similar age and who had measles, what I remember from that is my mother insisting that my room be dark because there was a concern about eyesight and measles and the potential for going blind.
Mm. Related to the encephalitis, the brain inflammation.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So I can remember and I was really sick. I can remember being home for about 2 weeks in my dark bedroom because there was so much concern about that.
Wow. And, you know, your immune system for potentially years after your measles infection, your immune system is depressed. So it puts kids at an additional risk for potentially years after they've been sick with measles and opens up the door for all of these other illnesses.
You know, I don't like to read the live stream comments, but there is one thing I want to talk about because I think it's an important point. Someone saying one death from measles in 10 years, 100,000 deaths from diabetes per year. I think you can talk about both things. I think you can talk about, we're talking about measles right now. We can absolutely have you back on the show, Dr. Lyerly, and
talk about diabetes
and talk about the importance 100%. Of about being healthy, exercising, but one doesn't have to exist. One, if one exists, the other one can exist as well. So thank you for making that a concern to you, making it your concern. We will have Dr. Lyerly talking about that as well.
And I don't understand, because this was something that was already eradicated in this country, why it's not a big deal that we have. So one is okay. 23 is okay. Now we're up to almost 300. So that's okay.
Yeah.
We had gotten rid of this disease. And thanks to Jenny McCarthy, of all people, thank you for reminding me of her.
Sorry about that.
One of the original influencers. Why anyone would take medical advice from that person is stunning to me.
Well, and when we have a functional CDC, which it's becoming less and less functional because of government interference, what happens when we have an outbreak is we send a team to this place and they put a big shield around that place and they investigate it and they do everything they can to quash these outbreaks. An outbreak is three or more people. So when you hear RFK talk about all of these outbreaks that we've seen, we have, but we've had an effective surveillance system to fight it.
Yeah.
That's something we don't have anymore, and that increases the danger.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. On the 60th anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama, we're examining how the landmark protections that moved forward in the Voting Rights Act of 1965 are now being dismantled by the U.S. Supreme Court's far-right majority. Louisiana versus Calais may be the next blow. What started out as brazen racial gerrymandering in 2022 by the Louisiana legislature has devolved into a new tactic to undo more of the already weakened VRA. Lower courts ordered the legislature to draw new, fairer maps. After initial defiance, it drew two majority-minority congressional districts to allow concentrations of the state's 33% black population to elect the candidate of their choice. In 2024, a group of, quote, non-African-American voters appealed. They claim that the new districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment and should be struck down. In 2023's striking down of affirmative action, Justices Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas pointed to the Equal Protection Clause, as did Alito in his dissent in Alabama's Milligan racial gerrymandering decision. When oral arguments begin March 24th, all eyes will be on Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett, who upheld the VRA Section 2 in the Alabama decision, but who also concurred with parts of Thomas's Equal Protection Clause dissent. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Galby on the board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform losing more users than a molting parrot. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. She is our chief morale officer. What?
I love you.
Thank you.
Me too.
I'm just working on some new stuff.
It's popping and fizzling, baby.
You gotta throw it out there.
It's like jazz. It's
see
like,
how it goes.
It's the jokes not being said.
But we were talking about the resurgence of measles in this country, largely because many people are now vaccine skeptics. Okay. Let's talk about, Dr. Lyerly, the link between nutrition and measles. This apparently is something that our new head of Health and Human Services, Robert Kennedy Jr., who, by the way, worked with a company offering alternatives to vaccines for measles, right? Wasn't that group the one pushing the vitamin A thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the thing. So, yes, great nutrition is important for everyone. We all should get enough sleep. We should get regular exercise. We should eat healthy foods, including fruits and vegetables and whole grains, and drink plenty of water. We know these things.
Yes.
But it's just not that easy, right? Healthy nutrition is not going to protect you specifically from measles. And you know, the irony here is so ridiculous. I was watching a Fox News interview between Sean Hannity and RFK, and it led off with, here we are at Steak and Shake in Atlanta or wherever. Did you see this?
Yes.
First of all, Steak and Shake is a fast food restaurant. They're sitting there with a hamburger and the fries are almost gone, and RFK is chewing on the fries. And I'm thinking, that's not healthy. French fries are not healthy. I love French fries.
Right.
I eat French fries. French fries are not good for you. And they're there sitting talking about how important nutrition is and how it's more important than getting a vaccine. Clearly, this was a sponsored spot for Steak and Shake, which is the whole thing behind RFK. He's selling the supplements. He's doing the bit for Steak and Shake. He's got a book. Like, no, this is why we need the government to provide this foundation of health for us, because the government does not have a financial incentive to sell you supplements, to sell you something that they want to trick you into buying, thinking that it's going to make you healthier.
I know I'm crazy, but I prefer to get my medical advice from people, I don't know, who have studied medicine as opposed to someone who was on an MTV show and then offers her opinion on whether or not you should get vaccinated. I know I'm an outlier that way, Dr. Lyerly, but I don't there. I just find comfort in the fact that there are people who have spent their lives researching these things, and then they published papers that were peer reviewed, which means you open yourself up to criticism of the results of your findings. Correct? There is a process for these things.
There is a huge process. And this is the problem with doctors talking about stuff like this on the news, because you get like a Dr. Oz who eventually, because it becomes profit driven, starts selling supplements and going down that capitalism pathway.
Yep.
Most doctors are so steeped in, well, it could be this or it could be that. Mm-hmm. It's all of that gray area.
Yeah.
Even if you see a study that is a headline that like NBC News is reporting, they're boiling it down for you. What they teach us in medical school is to look at the study. Who did they study? Where did they live? What were the other medical complex things happening with these people? How similar were the groups that were being studied? There's so much more information that goes into these studies. So when you see the headline, those are the broad strokes.
Right.
But all of the details and the complexities are things that we really need to understand in order to advise you. So when you come to us and say, I saw this thing on the news, and you think that it applies to you because that is what the headline says, we can help you dig through the weeds and figure out specifically how it applies to you. That is the advantage to having a partner in healthcare who is focused specifically on you and your health and well-being.
We had a caller who didn't want to be on the air for the answer, but they wanted to know the difference between red measles and German measles.
Is it the accent?
Oh my God.
It was a cheap shot. I apologize. That was
she's ramping up,
baby.
It's too easy.
Oh, that was great. That was really, really fun. It's like, you have some measles. Mm.
What is the difference
They're just two different viruses. Both of them are part of the MMR vaccine. So it's measles, mumps, and rubiola. And rubiola is German measles.
Oh, I did not know that. Oh,
look what we learn on
and
this
And I got
program.
A good joke out of it, too.
What a day.
But
You know, something important to know about all of these, though, is that this is a live vaccine. So some of the vaccines that are out there are called killed vaccines, where the vaccine is, or where the virus is not active.
It's inert,
It's inert. This is a live vaccine where you actually can potentially get the disease from this vaccine. And that is one of the precautions that we share when we vaccinate someone with this particular vaccine. And one of the reasons why, if you do have a condition or you're taking a medication that causes immunosuppression, we have to be really careful when we use this vaccine.
Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Jack, you got to make it quick. We got about 90 seconds. Thanks so much for joining us. What do you want to say?
Okay, first of all, there's an old internet meme that you might be interested in. A little girl says to her mom, "Hey, mommy, what's that round scar on your shoulder?" Mommy says, "That's a smallpox vaccination scar." And a little girl says, "Mommy, what's smallpox?"
There you go.
Just wait. You'll find out sooner than later. Yeah. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing I want to mention is this. I've spent some time in Africa, and they do not have a really good polio vaccination program in a lot of places. I saw so many kids, just way too many kids, who had severe disabilities caused by that. We don't see that in this country.
For a reason, right, Jack? Yeah, we don't see that in this country for a reason. Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate it. We are right up against the news. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, really appreciate your time, my friend. It's good to see you. I saw you were in Washington yesterday. We'll have to do a little follow-up. I'd love to know how that meeting went.
Oh, I'd love to tell you about it.
I'll text you after the show.
That and diabetes. Let's talk about that.
We'll have her back. We'll have her back to talk about diabetes. News is coming up next when we return. Which old TV show do you miss? That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Greater Richland Area Chamber of Commerce joined the Richland Hospital and Clinics last week for a ribbon-cutting ceremony to officially mark Community Pharmacy at the Richland Hospital's grand opening. The event brought together several members of the GRACC, the Richland Hospital Foundation, TRHC board members, along with staff and volunteers. TRHC CEO Bruce Raisler cut the ribbon. Community Pharmacy at the Richland Hospital will be running various promotions April through June as part of their official grand opening. A big achievement for one Dane County city, Sun Prairie is the first municipality in Wisconsin to achieve 100% renewable energy. That means all their city buildings, including City Hall and even the water treatment plant, run on clean power. They use a mix of their own solar and blocks from Wisconsin Public Power. Sun Prairie even has more solar panels in the works. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has extended the deadline for employers to apply for Wisconsin Fast Forward worker training grants from March 11th until Wednesday, April 2nd by 3 p.m. Employers of all types and sizes across Wisconsin are encouraged to apply for this funding that helps address the critical demand for skilled workers. Eligible applicants include public agencies, private organizations in all industry sectors, a consortium of placement partners with the lead public or private organization serving as the applicant, and tribal governing bodies of a federally recognized tribe or band of Native Americans, or an organization appointed by the tribal governing body. Learn more about the Wisconsin Fast Forward Standard Grant Program at wisconsinfastforward.com. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Duchess of Sussex, also known as Meghan Markle, has taken a lot of verbal and tabloid abuse for her show, I Really Wish I Was Martha Stewart, a.k.a. With Love, Meghan. Critics don't like it, and according to Rotten Tomatoes, only 20% of audiences like it. Having said that, the show has been renewed for season two, and according to the New York Post, the crew absolutely loves her and said she treats everyone wonderfully. Why wouldn't she? She's a duchess with a horrible hit TV show. I can't think of anyone luckier. Mr. Scarlett Johansson, a.k.a. Colin Jost, was roasted on Saturday Night Live during Weekend Update by Lady Gaga's fictional husband, Lord Gaga, played by Mikey Day, who went on and on about how horrible it must be to live with a woman who makes so much more money than her husband. According to the Post, Colin Jost muscles through life with a net worth of just $10 million, and his wife Scarlett Johansson is worth $165 million. Somehow, they managed to make it work. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The sun won't stop. We have plenty of it today with highs reaching 60 degrees and more of it tomorrow with highs climbing to the upper 60s. For Friday, clouds roll in, we become breezy and muggy, and we warm up to the mid-70s. Then at night, strong to severe thunderstorms roll through. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Dom Selvia.
Next time, a preview of the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate with Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang filling in. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, if you are considering a change in jobs, maybe you have a younger person in your home who is considering a career path they may want to take. I actually know that there is a broadcast company that I used to work for, actually, yeah, who just got rid of a whole bunch of employees, unfortunately. If you are on the beach, a former TV or radio person, and you are looking for a gig, Civic Media is growing, and we have job openings. You can find them at civicmedia.us/careers.
Nice.
We're looking for a couple of producers. Greg is a producer. Callan is a producer. We're looking for some more news reporters. We are looking for a news director. We are looking for sales reps. If you are considering a change or maybe a new path, you never thought about getting into radio, or did you? You wanted to get into radio.
I always wanted to get into radio, but I never saw a pathway in because I had a lot of friends who were in radio, and by the time I got to know them, they had been in radio 10 years. And, you know, they had done all the things. I got accepted to radio school, and then they sent me a sheet saying, well, this is how much you're going to make coming out of radio school. I said, well, I don't want to live in a box under a bridge, so I guess I'm going to have to get a job. But, yeah, so this opportunity presented itself, and I love this company. I really do, and I love the people I work with. So, yeah. Come hang out. You know, listen.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Check it out. Go to civicmedia.us/careers and take a look at some of the job openings. Civic Media is growing, and we would love to have you be a part of it. As we always do for the last half hour of the show, we try and lighten things up a little bit. We like to call it, he's on the phone.
Oh.
Can you fill it in? Audio survey. Thank you.
It was an underwater harp.
I like it. So our question for you today: what old TV show do you miss and wish would come back? And I thought of this morning when I was driving in and I was listening to you and Pat Kreitlow on Up North News Radio. Today in 1966 was the premiere of the Batman TV show with Adam West
and Burt Ward.
Yep. I loved that show.
I mean, you know, what's interesting about Batman 66 is the stomping ground that show was for celebrities.
It like, was.
Cesar Romero played the Joker.
Burgess Meredith.
Jack Jones was on that show. Was it
Yvonne DiCarlo? No, it was Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt. Played Catwoman. And also Julie Newmar played a Catwoman.
Right.
There were three Catwomen on that show. And then you also had the crawling up the side of the building, and then someone opening a window, and it's like, oh, it's Dick Clark. You know, it was
those,
always
this, those were that was before Laughing started doing that.
And that was going to be my show,
Laughing.
I loved Laughing. Like when I was I come from a very interesting generation, especially within Gen X, which is I didn't grow up with just three channels, but I also didn't have 150 channels. I had about 20. We had a clicker box on top of the TV. We had cable.
Right.
And, you know, and none of those channels shut off at midnight like the old days where it was the
national anthem.
And then snow for 12 hours.
Right.
They had to fill it with programming. So all the shows I grew up watching had been canceled for a good 15 years. Black and white shows, comedies. And one that my mom showed me that I fell in love with when I was really, really young was Laughing. That show was a groovy.
There was nothing like it.
No.
And there was nothing like it.
And there's been nothing like it since. And I don't want to get into the whole, like, well, you couldn't do that show. You could absolutely do any show today or movie today. Just be sensible about it.
With some changes, perhaps.
But Laughing was like chaos in a bottle, and it worked every single time. And it was almost like, you know, and when you think about it, the format of the show fit who we are today. Quick cuts. There's no like really long sketches.
You're
like,
right.
Camera going back and forth and back and forth.
It was all quick.
Yeah. And you want to see a Goldie Hawn before she got into movies? I mean,
that's where she got her start.
It was an amazing show. I can still name all the actors on the show. I would love to have a version of Laughing today that was tongue in cheek, political, but not so politically serious that you were not having fun. You could, but we don't live in those times anymore. Like you could funnel. In 1969, you could
do it.
Poke fun at Tricky Dick, and he'd come on the show. You can't do that nowadays, but Laughing would be my vote.
Which TV show do you miss? Which old TV show do you miss? Doesn't have to be that old.
No.
But today is the anniversary of the premiere of the original Batman series from 1966. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What old TV show do you miss and wish would come back? We got some good texts coming in. Brian from Milwaukee, Mission Impossible with Peter Graves. Okay. That was a great show. That was a great show. And the disguise guy. I can see him and I can't remember his name. He always did all the disguises on Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Somebody can text that in for me. I've forgotten what his name is. Thank you for that, Brian from Milwaukee. Liz from Saukville. I miss MASH and the Love Boat.
MASH is probably my number one TV show. And I've watched it so many times, I almost feel like it's still on the air. That show is fantastic. And Love Boat, I can watch an episode or two, and then I'm like, I get it.
I would like to see Fantasy Island again.
They tried to redo that show as like a darker version, I think, and it just didn't. No,
there is no Fantasy Island without Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo,
was it with a deep Corinthian leather? Shizu on the live stream says, "Old cartoons I would love to see come back: the world of Donald the Gnome and Pirates of Dark Water." I would love to see Fractured Fairy Tales come back.
What was that?
That was part of Looney Tunes, and it was always a very short segment of the Looney Tunes on Saturday mornings. But Fractured Fairy Tales is just what it sounds like. They would take an old fairy tale and screw it up.
Okay.
And it was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. What old TV show do you miss and wish would come back? 855-752-4842. Mike from West Bend is on the line. Good morning, Mike. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, good morning. Yeah, I started as a police officer in the 70s. And you want to see a real police show? Barney Miller. I love that show.
Oh.
That's what a real courtroom was like. And I'll tell you, it showed that the cops had a lot of heart.
Oh, that was a great show, Mike. I had forgotten about Barney Miller, and what a wonderful cast.
And a top 10 theme song, too.
Yep.
One of the funkiest.
That's fabulous, Mike. Thank you so much. What a great reminder. What TV show do you miss and wish would come back? 855-752-4842. John from Hubertus, WKRP.
Yep. That was
so brilliant.
Chai Chai Rodriguez.
I swear to God, I thought turkeys could fly. It's just one of those shows that is still quotable.
Was Martin Landau the guy? Roland Hand?
Yes.
It was Roland Hand.
Yes,
okay.
Martin Landau. Okay. Thank you. He was the disguise guy.
Yes, he was a disguise guy.
In Mission Impossible. John from West Bend, a tie between Laughing and the Smothers Brothers.
The Smothers Brothers, I mean, you want to talk about some real, like, what do they call it? Not covert, but like controversial material. You got Dick and
yes, they got really political and they got in trouble for
it. Oh, they got canceled for it because they were heavily anti-war. And one of the best jokes ever was that he said that joke where he says President Nixon has said that we're gonna want to make sure that all of our veterans are safe for the holidays. And then Dick goes, "Come on, home, boys. You're fine now. Come on home." It's Marilyn from Columbus, The West Wing. That's top three. It's MASH, The West Wing, and then whatever show is like in that spot. But MASH and The West Wing are always in the top.
What TV show, old TV show, do you miss and wish would come back? 855-752-4842. Terry on the live stream says Emergency. I remember that show. Doctor shows were really big in the 70s.
Yeah. Oh, they're
Marcus
Welby.
Marcus Welby, MD.
Trapper John,
MD.
Which was a weird spinoff of the movie MASH, not the TV show MASH.
Yep, exactly. Fractured Fairy Tales from Rocky and Bullwinkle. Someone listening in Madison, thank you for the clarification.
Yes, now I remember. Okay. The Rocky and Bullwinkle. Yes, I remember watching those when I was a little kid. Oh, come on. The Carol Burnett Show.
So brilliant. Oh, and the Avengers.
That's folks, if you have streaming, the Avengers, and this is for your kids listening, we're not talking about Marvel. We're talking about the TV show, the English spy show.
Yes.
That is on streaming.
Is it really? Yes,
I don't know where it is exactly.
Does it still pass the test of time?
Oh, I don't know. I never watched it as a kid.
Emma Peel.
Yeah.
She was.
Hello.
She was something.
Hello. Calvin, are there any shows? I mean, I know that you're our resident young person, but are there any shows that you wish was still here that, you know?
Well, I don't. None of them would be really considered old shows, especially to you guys.
That was not the compliment you thought it was.
I didn't mean it in any type of way. I don't know. I feel like Community always said six seasons in the movie, yep. So I'm waiting for the movie. Absolutely. For Community. I think Jordan and Michael could do some interesting things with Key and Peele if they brought that back.
I would love Key and Peele to come back. They were fantastic.
I don't think they'll ever do a TV show again. I think they would sooner do a movie. But they did their one movie. They did their show. They did their one movie. And, I mean, Jordan Peele is just, he's in a different, I mean, Keegan-Michael Key is on a different level for TV and performing, whereas Jordan Peele is on a different level for what he is doing.
Yeah.
And Jordan Peele, every time I look at him, I'm like, you are a director.
Yeah.
He's always got a big beard and he's wearing a suit jacket. I'm like, oh, sir, Mr. Hitchcock calling. He loves your look.
What TV show do you miss and wish would come back? 855-752-4842 for the texter WAUK who missed the Carol Burnett show. You could go to YouTube.
Yes.
There are classic Carol Burnett mm-hmm. skits all over YouTube, including the one with Tim Conway and the Siamese elephants.
Yeah.
Just when I'm really, really feeling down,
yeah,
I will watch that clip
yes.
over and over and over
just
again.
Just cannot hold in the laughter on all accounts.
He killed everybody. He yes. killed Dick Van Dyke. He just broke them all up. Yep. Tim Conway was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. There's some great shows coming through here. Mary Hartman.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Dick Van Dyke Show and the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Carol from Waukesha. Soap. I loved soap. I wrote a college paper about soap.
Go on.
Which was Billy Crystal's first.
Yes, it was.
First big hit.
And it dealt with the idea of homosexuality gay. On that show, too. And the world still made it through the night.
Shockingly.
Yeah.
Whose line is it anyway? Steve from Milwaukee, another great one.
Yeah.
You can still find reruns of that show.
I prefer the British version myself.
Do you?
Yeah. The American version is wonderful. But I've got, you know, a soft spot in my heart for all of those British performers, especially Sandy Toksvig, who is the host of QI, which is the greatest quiz show on the planet.
Okay.
But, yeah, whose line is it anyways? Love it.
855-752-4842. Jude from East Troy. Which TV show do you miss wish would come back? In Living Color and Northern Exposure. Northern Exposure was a really sweet show.
Oh, yeah.
It was quirky. It was odd. It was funny.
Yes.
And that introduced Aiden on Sex and the City.
All roads lead back to Carrie.
Sorry.
In Living Color for me was appointment television as a kid. That was great sketch comedy. Someone listening on WAUK, Monty Python's Flying Circus. If Monty Python is the Beatles of sketch comedy, that's all there is to it. And I wouldn't mind having them back, but I'm glad we have what we have. With them, I'm sort of like, oh, let's just leave that where it is.
That was good back then. Thanks, everybody. PJ says Three's Company or Welcome Back, Kotter were also good ones. And don't forget about Barney Miller, which was a and Golden Girls.
And Taxi.
Oh, my gosh, we could go on forever.
Just naming TV shows now.
When we return, we will wrap things up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. It is the Trust Me, It Floats edition. Stay close. This is Dark Shadows, too. That was another one. Worst soap opera of all time. I loved it. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is news from the Setter, WRCE. Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up tomorrow, Jim Santel, our colleague here at Civic Media and host of Amicus, a law review. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 will be joining us tomorrow morning at 10:33. We're going to be talking about some of the moves the Trump administration is making now. Apparently, you can no longer represent a client that the government doesn't like. That seems problematic.
That seems right on brand for what's happening right now.
Jim Santel will be joining us at 10:33 tomorrow. If you ever have a question for Jim, please send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us. She joins us every week at 11:20. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, will be here with Weather and Wine. We have some nice weather over the next couple of days. Might see our first thunderstorms this weekend. And also, I did see this come out this morning. It's really dry in parts of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So for my fellow social pariahs, smokers, don't throw it out the window.
Yeah.
Don't throw cigarette butts out the window. We don't want to start any fires. That would be bad.
Correct.
Also happening tomorrow, J.R. Radcliffe will be from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk all things sports. That is all coming up tomorrow. Right now, though, 11:53. Calvin, that means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This article from Electrek, Fred Lambert with the byline, headline reads, Tesla Cybertruck sank when launching a jet ski after Elon Musk said you could use the truck as a boat. Whoopsie doodles.
I mean, he's not wrong. Elon Musk did say that the boat would be a flotation device in certain situations. What certain situations? Let's go to the tape, Cal.
A Cybertruck has sunk at a boat ramp in California after the driver attempted to use it to launch his jet ski. Oh. Local fire crews worked with divers to pull the submerged vehicle from the water. In 2022, Tesla CEO Elon Musk tweeted, "Cybertruck will be waterproof enough to serve briefly as a boat, so it can cross rivers, lakes, and even seas that aren't too choppy."
I do want to point out that it was pretty calm where this guy was trying to launch his jet ski. That didn't save this Tesla.
There's a lot to unpack in that tweet. First of all, any car can be a boat briefly.
Briefly.
Then it becomes a sinking device.
Exactly.
It becomes more anchor.
More yes. More anchor, less flotation.
And I am not the smartest tool in the shed. I am not a graduate with honors, but I'm pretty sure there's no such thing as a brief ocean experience when it comes to boats. They're pretty big.
They are pretty large.
They're known for being, I mean, like, we have the Great Lakes. Those are big. Oceans are, some would say, bigger. So I would like to see how long a Cybertruck would last as a brief boat.
On an ocean. Even if it's really calm.
Yes, yes.
Elon Musk has often made claims before about how Tesla vehicles can float briefly and serve as a boat. This has never been taken too seriously because Tesla's warranty says something different.
Oh, tell me more.
About taking it into the water. Yes, it seems that in order to do this, Tesla built in a wade mode for the Cybertruck to go into the water. This allegedly increases the height to the maximum and pressurizes the battery pack. However, slight problem, this gets activated through the off-roading mode, which is not covered under the Tesla warranty.
Breaking news, Tesla has just released a new update for their Cybertruck and how it can be fully floatable on the water. You have to order what's called a ferry. It shows up to a dock. You then put your car into its patented drive mode, put it on the ferry, and allow the ferry to float it, even choppy waters.
Problem solved.
Problem solved. Cybertruck for life. Totally normal behavior here, folks.
Tesla owner in California, unfortunately, learned the hard way that the Cybertruck is not a boat.
It's not a cyber boat.
It happened in Ventura, California. And again, he was trying to launch a jet ski on the boat when he could not get his Cybertruck back out of the water. It became completely submerged. Divers from the Coast Guard had to help the tow truck driver get it out. There is not only audio, there are some video elements. So I encourage you to check out our show notes afterwards if you would like to appreciate the full scope and breadth of
this
story.
If you're having a bad day, just watch this, because the best part is opening up to the sound.
You gotta love it. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
On the way, we have news next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, and then Pete Schwabba 6 to 8 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It genuinely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even just a little, and you have a chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
News from the Center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
It's Thursday. We're excited to meet our pharmacist at Dr. Omar at 8 a.m., followed by Mandela Barnes in the second hour to discuss the April elections, the Supreme Court, and the state superintendent.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Sweeping layoffs taking place at the Education Department, the first step of the Trump administration's efforts to streamline the agency. Roughly half of staff facing layoffs are taking buyouts. Becky Pringle is president of the National Education Association and says funding for underserved schools and students will be impacted.
You cannot fire half of your staff and think you are going to meet the needs of all of the students in every school district across this nation. That's not possible. No one believes that.
Curriculum decisions still handled at the state and local levels. The Trump administration's original 25% tariffs on aluminum and steel kicking in worldwide today. European leaders, along with Canada and Japan, responding with counter tariffs. Secretary of State Mark